I'm Karen, I'm an alcoholic. Oh, I love you too, you have no idea. I had a lot of ideas about what I wanted to say, but God, you guys have been sitting there over an hour already. I don't know if I can tap dance and keep you awake still, so we'll see how this goes. No, I don't want to go further. I got to hold on or I'm going to fall over. I love the theme for this convention, to thine own self be true. I have heard the best shares in the meetings I've been to, just dynamite shares. Keep talking about honesty. Keep talking about kind of how to possibly get honest with myself and stuff. Boy, this is really talking to me. My sobriety date is May 23rd, 2001. That's starting to get to be kind of a long time. The story kind of goes, you know, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. Well, what it was like, I had an unhappy childhood. I want to tell you, I had an unhappy childhood. It was kind of an unexpected pregnancy for my mom, and they did decide to keep the baby, and they boarded me out until I was 8 years old, and when I was 8 years old, my mom divorced my dad, remarried my stepfather. By time, I was desperate for affection, for approval. I started taking care of the babies. By the time I was 12, I was the oldest of six children, and I was the principal babysitter, baby taker care of. That was my role. I felt useful. I felt okay with that. Well, whatever. When I was 16, started having some other kind of problems with my family, moved out, started drinking, started living in the dorm in college. By the time I was 17, I dropped out of college. I had an apartment of my own. I had a little job, and when I was 18, I got married. Well, 18. 2 weeks after I turned 18, I got married. Smart. You know, and there I was kind of making my way through my life, kind of blundering my way along through relationships and marriages and jobs and cities. And as I was thinking about this in order to talk to you, that impression of chaos, that complete inability to have any kind of responsibility for what I was doing, because I want to tell you, I was nice. I was a really nice person. I just met the wrong people over and over and over again. And these guys drove me crazy. The drinking stuff is pretty, you know, everybody knows what that's about. Kind of my arrival in AA, I'd been flirting with AA for a long time, but they realized they had no desire to stop drinking, so I was hanging out in Al-Anon. Believe me, I needed that too. That probably saved my life, first of all. But what happened is once I got separated from the husband, by the time I actually arrived in AA, I was just miserable over another boyfriend. Kind of the man embracing that misery like crazy. I had two kids. I had the second failed marriage under my belt. I was unemployed, and alcohol was not working. And guess what? I was not an alcoholic either. Man, I wasn't going there. But because that gift of desperation, I didn't know where else to go. I couldn't talk to anybody without crying. I was suicidal. And I wanted to clear the decks at home so I could drink. But I'd been coming to this convention and the convention in August in the Netherlands. And I got up there in the Netherlands, weeping, crying, following people around and moaning at them. My specialty was self-pity. And they said to me, you know, three different people separately said to me, you've been around program for a while, aren't you going to try AA? Alcohol is not my problem. Mind you, I'd been drinking more and more, but I just figured because I'd had an earlier history where I'd learned how to drink, When my kids were home, I kind of put that sort of stuff on hold. I now believe this is my higher power just being so incredibly kind to me, because although I didn't believe in higher power believed in me. And I got to this point where I didn't know what to do and came crawling into AA, because I wasn't trying to kill myself during the meetings. Al-Anon, we had one meeting a week. That was not enough. And AA, there were two meetings every single day. And I made a bargain with myself. I was so smart, man, intelligence like crazy. I made a bargain with myself I would stop drinking so I could go to AA. I will not pretend this was a genuine desire to stop drinking. But that was my bargain. And I ran on self-will and self-control and self-seeking satisfaction and self-pity for about the first 2 years. And I had a slip during that time, which was a huge gift, because I didn't believe I was an alcoholic. I thought I could decide to stop drinking, and that was all I needed to do. And I took a drink where I looked around to see who was watching me before I put it in my mouth, and had already decided I wasn't going to tell anybody. And although it took me almost a year after that to figure out what it meant, I had that example of how dishonest I became even before I drank it. I didn't even get that "oh fuck it" moment when I decided that I was going to drink it anyway. I just drank it. And for me, what that means is my next drink is just as far away as the length of my arm. I am at risk like that. So, had a big problem in the beginning in AA. I didn't believe I was an alcoholic. I didn't believe in God. That self-centeredness, self-sufficiency, self-will, and self-pity kind of is what I ran on for like probably the first couple of years. And I hit another real bad bump. You know, I'd been spending that time, I was getting sponsors and sitting over coffee complaining, and they kept quitting me. I spend my time now waiting for the sponsee who comes along who's going to be anywhere near as bad as I was, because I was unteachable. I wouldn't listen to anything. There wasn't anything you could tell me that I wouldn't say, "yeah, but." That was the only thing I had. And I finally got to this point where I'd been sober for about a year and some, and going to AA for a couple of years, and yeah, I was going crazy. I started to do the steps with the sponsor. And I started actually doing what she said. It was a miracle. And what I see there is that beginning of willingness, because I can tell you I wasn't very willing. It was a little tiny nub of willingness, and she dragged my unhappy ass through the steps with so much. It was love, but man, it was tough, and I was just dragging my heels all the way, and I will be forever grateful for that. The steps, you know, I didn't realize how much I needed them. I'd been going to meetings for a long time. We read the steps at the beginning of every meeting. Al-Anon too. We read the words aren't hard. I thought I knew what this stuff meant. Come to understand finally, it's not an intellectual process. I don't need to read about the steps and go to step meetings where everybody discusses the steps. I've actually got to do it if I want the benefit from it. I had the steps for a long time. This is like a toolbox. You've got something that will cover all kinds of situations, and I never practiced any of them. I can tell you, if I take a toolbox home and I put it under the bed, and I need to use that hammer, I need to use that saw, man, and I've never used it before, I'm going to get a pretty funny looking bookcase.
I really need to practice these things. So the way I finally learned to do step work, because I'm still really incredibly lazy, but if I do work in a group of people who's doing that all together, that will give me the motivation to actually do the homework that everybody's doing at the same time. So I've had a habit of going through the steps about once a year, and I've done this maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 times now. I love step work. I love taking new people through this stuff. It's just the best ever. Don't wait till you feel better to work the steps. Work the steps and feel better. It's the best we got going. And it is, somebody said that before, it is the easier, softer way, boy. Find somebody who's done it, who can lead you through it, and kind of go for it. I want to tell you what things are like now. My life is just about perfect. It's not that you would want it, but I've got a great life. I am a really happy person. I've got one area that I've got a lot of problems with. That continues. It's the space between my ears. Now that'll take hold and drive me crazy. I treat that with prayer and meditation, meetings. My four S's, I share in meetings, I've got a sponsor, I've got sponsees, I do step work, and I do service. And I love all these pieces of my stool to sit on. They're all absolutely vital to me. And I get off on the opportunity to share my enthusiasm about this stuff with people. Yeah. That metaphor about the onion, the uncover, discover, discard. I've been discarding things pretty heavy duty for quite a while now. When I finally did get employed, I was no longer the important person I used to think I was. I had a job as a secretary, but it was a good job, and I stayed in it kind of until I hit retirement age. But that whole peeling away of I am what I do, that was a pretty heavy duty sort of thing. So I went from being a senior systems analyst kind of a persona to, hello, I'm your secretary. That was something that I managed to handle inside of AA. People really helped me with that a lot. Now, more recently, what I've done is I've closed up my apartment. I took everything from the 40 years that I've been living in Brussels. I sold what I could. I gave it away. I donated it. I threw it away. I no longer have an apartment in Brussels. I live in other spaces. I'm not sans abri, as they say in French, but I don't have my own place anymore. And for the moment, that's still feeling really, really good. I don't know how that's going to turn out in the end, but you know what? I am also not what I own. That's not who I am. I want to tell you that with the help of doing the step work, I managed to make amends with my parents before they died. I am tremendously grateful for that. In preparing for tonight's talk, it has finally kind of shifted into shape for me that I think I probably wasn't unhappy as a child, but those events that happened, I turned into, oh, poor me. And I used that, I drank on it, I used that as the essential who I am persona. When I got really intimate and late at night with you, that's the old crap that came out. And I no longer believe that that's who I am. Man, what's left is what's left. I'm pretty happy to be here. I want to tell you just a couple of things that I like because they're little shorthand things that are just happen. Q-tip, you know what a Q-tip is? This cotton bud sort of thing. Quit taking it personally. This is a big help to me. Because I like to take everything, but I am the belly button of the universe, you know.
This was something that was told to me when my first son turned 13. I went to my girlfriends and said, what do I do? Now I've got a teenager. And all my friends who had older children had some kind of really good advice, but the one that really stuck was somebody who said, he's a teenager, don't take it personally. There is no quality of parenting that will keep you out of the problems that come with teenagers. So I take that as a really program kind of statement. One of the things that I heard that seemed really counterintuitive, somebody else's opinion of me is none of my business. What? Well, it's got to be my business. Now, I've learned that that really isn't so. Be here, be now. I remind myself a lot, especially in moments of difficulty. All I have to do is feel my feet on the ground, is be right here in this moment. No matter how bad the situation is, no matter what's going on, I've discovered that most of the moments are fine. They can be poisoned by my fear of what's going to happen tomorrow or my anguish over what happened yesterday. But right here, right now, hell, I'm great. I'm even great here. somebody recently told me that I had said, no is a complete sentence. And it had been really useful to him, so I'm repeating that one now too. Some of you may recognize, I steal all this stuff, you know that. I can't think my way into right action, but I can act my way into right thinking. I can do the right thing even if I don't understand exactly why. That's cool. Prayer is an exercise in willingness. Start praying. Keep praying. That's all you need to know. And what I've learned to pray for the most is just I pray in gratitude for everything. Don't make any exceptions. Just be grateful. So if you're new here, I got a couple of real quick messages for you. This is not a self-help program. Grab hold of somebody, ask them for help. This is a we program. We help one another. Find somebody that's got something about them that inspires you. Go ask them how they got it. Don't drink, even if your ass falls off. I think I just heard this. What do you do if your ass falls off? Put it in a paper bag and take it to a meeting. Don't leave before the miracle happens. I see miracles in here all the time. The first one is getting through the door. We see that all the time. And the next one is that beginning of willingness where somebody's willing to do some of the work that's necessary, not to get sober, to get happy, joyous, and free, to find that spark of honesty and redefine these things, because man, I knew what honesty was and it wasn't any more honest than what I could get away with. And I want to tell you, all of you, I love you like crazy. Come give me a hug after the meeting. Thanks a lot.